Right now, healthcare providers aren't paid to talk to patients about what kind of care they want at the end of life. John Maycroft is with the Wisconsin Medical Society.
These are personal conversations that take time. They are not reimbursed generally by Medicare or insurers, and so healthcare organizations are taking it upon themselves to do it without compensation.
Medicare officials want to change that. They're proposing paying doctors to talk about advanced care planning during annual wellness visits. That's one development that could result in more planning. The other game changer is how to go about it. Traditional approaches, just getting people to fill out forms, have generally failed. Doctors may not know about the documents, and few people have them. In addition, advanced directives may have very specific care instructions. For instance, whether to use a feeding tube or ventilator. Living or dying is often more complex than that, says Dr. James Milford. He's medical director at Rainbow Hospice in Jefferson.
So it's not usually a decision about intubating or not intubating or a G-tube or not a G-tube. It's about, you know, dad has pneumonia and he has dementia. Do we want to treat this? Well, you don't spell that out in a living will.
It's estimated only a quarter of Americans have completed advanced directives. There are some areas where these numbers are significantly higher. La Crosse is one of them. After 3 decades of fostering end-of-life conversations through a program called Respecting Choices, nearly all residents have documented how they want to die. That's according to a study published in the Journal of American Geriatric Society. And among those who died, the care they wanted was what they got. And sometimes that can save money. End-of-life medical costs in La Crosse are far below the national average. Advanced care planning is slowly spreading statewide through a program called Honoring Choices. Much of the outreach is done in healthcare settings, but there's also informal gatherings like this dinner being prepared for friends and family.
The knives are over there. I put them next to the fridge.
It's a lively group spearheaded by Dr. James Milford. After working with hospice patients for years, he's more comfortable with death than most.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming to this event and celebrating. Not death. Life! That's what it's about, right? So let's eat.
Over a lengthy dinner, friends and family are gently guided in a discussion about end-of-life issues. Those at the table range in age from young to middle-aged. One topic is designating a healthcare agent if you're unable to communicate.
It is important to have an emotional connection, but at the same time have someone that's cerebral enough to not let emotions dictate what a good decision would be.
That's way more important than you think. With my sisters, there was one complete denial. My mother is totally in decline, and she's just like, no, she's fine.
Milford says the whole idea with Honoring Choices is to have people plan how they want to live when time is running out.
We don't look at a patient and say, oh, you shouldn't do this. We look at a patient and say, we want to honor what you want us to do for you, right? And it may be, I want everything done.
But people may not get what they want, Milford says, if they don't talk about it with family, friends, and the doctor. Shermaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.